Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, friends, and welcome in to the Eric Zane Show podcast. Daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. Let me get this out of the way early. If I'm on the show talking and news breaks, it's okay on the chat to say, EZ, there's breaking news. Or EZ, like, if I'm, let's say yesterday, it was a perfect example. I'm on the show talking. It was after Charlie Kirk had been shot. I started the show, but it was not yet announced. I mean, we didn't know if he was alive or dead. And then it's announced he's dead. It's okay to say, EZ, you don't know about this because you're doing the show, but breaking news, he's dead. That is okay. Or just tell me breaking news, and then I'll probably say, what? What is it? Tell me. All right? But if I go, like, turn on the mic and we start talking, and all that, there's information that's been out prior to me starting, like did happen yesterday, yeah, I got it. I can figure that out. I've got all that info. When I started the show yesterday on Patreon, after the news of Kirk getting shot happened, everything up until then, I knew. Of course I would know. That did not stop show Battleaxe Amanda. It was honestly one of the most incredible moments in the history of Eric Zane Show podcast chat. The chat is a pivotal part of the show. It has to be there. That is my text line. That is my call into the show line. She starts the show by blurting, which I didn't really have a problem with, because all she said was, breaking news! And that was because Kirk had been shot. Maybe a little weird because, of course, I know about it. I think she has some type of warped, sadistic side that she wants to be on the tip of the spear for delivering horrible information to us. Breaking news! Like, on any other day, she might give us more horrible news in her world. Like, the Little Debbie snack cakes haven't been replenished yet on her grocery store of choice. Or something equally horrific to Charlie Kirk, like that, in her world. I kid. Kind of. But I was so annoyed. To me, I went to bed with the horror of Charlie Kirk's murder, the assassination with that horrible up-close image. But I was more affected by Amanda seemingly deliberately trying to destroy the show. Okay? Amanda is psycho shooter, and I am Charlie Kirk in this case. I don't know what is wrong with you. What is wrong with this woman, ladies and gentlemen? She announces breaking news, and then right away, all the other intelligent members in the chat, they all go, shh, hey, quiet. Because they know I have a trained audience, with the exception of her. I immediately get to it. The whole show was about Charlie Kirk. I've got all the information in front of me, and probably the most shocking bit of the Kirk assassination, outside of the imagery that a lot of you saw, some of you did not, I won't show it, don't worry, was what they were speaking about when the bullet struck Kirk. They were talking about mass shootings and transgender people. We're hot on the heels of the Minnesota one where a transgender person shot children at the Catholic school/church and young children. It was horrible. So that's been discussed. And Kirk does debates. He does debate style Q&A. There's three. It's a packed place. There's 3,000 people there. Most are fans of Kirk. Some are not. This one guy's having a discussion, Q&A, back and forth with Kirk about that exact topic. He's talking about transgender people. And then, so I'm about to get to that. And Amanda, literally seconds after saying, breaking news, everybody tells her to shush, she responds with, I know, I'm just saying breaking news. So she's well aware of it. Then she blurts out, they were talking about transgender shit or something like that. And I'm like, you fucking asshole. And as soon as I see it, I see red. My goddamn blood pressure goes through the roof. And I'm like, you dumb motherfucker. You know, for once, I was not being an asshole. I was discussing the one thing that everybody wanted to talk about. This horrific assassination and all that goes around with it. And she's doing that. So then I started to let her have it. And Bob says, I even warned her. Alan says, we literally all warned her. She's not going to listen to you. She doesn't listen to anybody. As soon as I start beating her up, she announces she's leaving. That's like guy who farts and then walks away and lets everybody suck it in. That's what she did. And I'm like, what the fuck? And she leaves and announces, oh, yeah, hey, I'm going to go catch up on some breaking news. I'm going to go look at more of the story. I'm out. Bye. Chris says it just ruined the whole vibe. Megan says it wasn't exactly a rage quit, but it was close. Yeah, this would be a reverse rage quit. If I quit, this isn't the first time this has happened. I remember after I gave away my kidney, I was, this is a stressful time in my life. And I don't remember exactly what she did, but I know she did something. She probably remembers. There was a moment in time in December of 20. I'm doing the show in a hotel room in Los Angeles. I've got staples in my belly. I'm on pain medicine. And I don't remember what she did, but she did something. And I went bonkers. Fuck this. Fuck you. And pulled the plug on the show. I don't remember exactly what happened, but this woman has an unbelievable ability to rattle my cage. And I'm not quite there yet as to what is happening. Are we thinking, chat, that this is intentional? Are we looking at, are we all getting punked here? This has to be like a big troll job, right? There's no way that it could possibly be that this was inadvertent, right? And do you call something like that inadvertent when it seems so malicious? Or is it just ignorance? I don't know. I always thought that inadvertent is like when you bump into something. Oh, I accidentally bumped into you. My God. I Am Woody says, I missed out on this Amanda person, but she sounds like a troll. Yeah, I have no idea. I'm not sure, but considering how I have talked on this show about, try not to wreck the, not everybody is up to speed on all the information. The goddamn Kirk story was unfolding, and so I got a notepad, and I'm writing down, all right, I need to talk about this. I'm doing my job. I had to talk about, I'm going to show the video from this distance, but not up close. I'm going to discuss the setting. I'm going to discuss this, that. I'm going to discuss the fact that what they were talking about, possibly taking guns away from transgender people. And then she gets in front of it and blurts it. How? And then I called her. And then this is how she answers the phone. What? And I go, I have a one-word question, and it's why. I think a better question would have been how. How? After all of this, it's always you. Stevie says, EZ, what happened yesterday will make for a good discussion topic for your class. How to cover breaking news live. The first thing you do is don't have an asshole wrecking the story. Linda says it is not intentional. Maureen says it's a case of not thinking before blurting. No filter, Amanda, the NFA. She needs to get her own podcast started for an outlet, says Aram. I Am Woody says, I feel like most of us know the drill, but apparently not all of us. Who's the entertainer here? Precisely. Well, she's been through it before, though. I mean, we've actually had discussion. It's like having another child. It really is. Piano Fingerbanger says, this is like the podcast equivalent of stolen valor in the military. It was so crazy to think that the biggest news story in a long, long time and one of the most heinous, visible things that a human should ever see has just happened. And I'm doing, as usual, an amazing job of discussing something very, very sensitive. And this goddamn asshole manages to fuck it up. Holy shit. So it consumed me while I'm trying to talk about Kirk. So I'm doing all this shit. I'm trying to keep it moving. You know, it wasn't even being an asshole. I was just discussing what happened because that's really all you need to do. You don't need to pull a Stu McAllister, which I'll get to that in a bit. And you just ride that. You just talk about it. That's it. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to. You might get in a crack here and there, but motherfucker, it's a pretty serious thing. All of a sudden, I'm raging out at this wildebeest over that. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with? And then she leaves. So I banned her for 24 hours. And I have to talk with the tech team and my PR team and my publicity department about potential ramifications. Do we pursue this any further? Is any further punishment needed? I'll throw this out to the chat. Does the chat think that there should be further punishment over this? Now, there has only been one time in the history of the show, almost 7 years, that I have given out the death penalty. In addition, you have the great Zaniac Exodus, whatever year that was, 2022, 2021, I don't know, doesn't matter, where I said, all right, I have had it with all, this whole mob of inbred, group sex addicted pieces of shit. And I cast them all out. It's impossible for them to listen. They still get together. Many of them are dead. They still get together and have We Hate Eric Zane parties. So I honestly don't think that we look at the death penalty because, it's weird. Whenever I issue the death penalty, the other time that I did, what you have to do there is you have to, like, hammer somebody and, like, cut them off and say, all right, I've had enough. I can't afford the stress anymore in my life. It's actually messing with my serenity in the real world. So when I do drop the death penalty, it's, you know, that's it. And I'm not quite, and the problem with that is you really gotta get after it in order to get me to unload the death penalty. Because I go back and forth. It's like this. Here's a meter. And enraged, and then I start to ease up. And then each time I get enraged, it's less wiggle room until finally it's just pegged all the way over. It's not coming up. That's when the death penalty is given out. Let's see. Bob says, I'm not going to read that. No. Black Belt Nick says, I almost made the same mistake as the music was playing, but I learned from my earlier mistake. Maybe she can learn. Right, yes, but remember, this goes back years. Francis says, I missed the whole Zaniac chapter. It sounds pretty crazy. Aram says, no more punishment, but I am guessing it will happen again after a year or two. Well, yeah, I know. And that's why I'm at where I'm at, because this has been a regular thing. Man Bun Chris says, in all seriousness, I don't think it was intentional. I think you mentioned she's far right, so I think she was just excited to talk about it. Yeah, I know, but so is everybody else. I tell you what, no excuses. I don't accept any excuses. She will come back, but I'm still not over it. I'm still pissed off about it. You know? And this is the same route that it went with the last death penalty. I was like, you know what? You have knifed me too many goddamn times. I'm sick of it. Man Bun Chris says, go watch the airing of the grievances episode. It was an all-timer on Patreon regarding the Zaniacs. I don't know what number that was. Would you just search grievances on the Patreon chat function or the Patreon search function? Is that when it would come up? All right. Thank you, Chris. If you could give some info in the chat about how they find the airing of the grievances. Anytime that I have ever beat up anybody to this extent on the chat, and this is the second time, this type of beat up, it has been the same scenario. Continuous rule breaking, continuous disaster efforts, continuous disturbing the chat and rattling everything up. It's the same feeling I have. I can only go so far before another death penalty. Just the fact that we're discussing the death penalty is not great. Cole says, I don't think that was a Patreon episode. It was on a Sunday or something like that, though. I think you're right. Alan says, the time of the great Zaniac Exodus was dark as hell. Well, I don't think so. I thought it was a time of light. Aram says, I thought it was Patreon. That's the way I remember it, too. Alan says, call in the firing squad. She's a disaster in Fatathon and in the chat. Well, I'm not going to go that far. Donut Dan is here. He says, hey, can I start telling you all the things that happened yesterday here in the chat to totally screw the show? All right. Maureen says that the great Zaniac airing of the grievances says it was a Sunday. I sat in a Flint parking lot listening right in the middle of doing dog outreach. And God bless you for doing dog outreach. Chris says, I sent you the link. So, I don't quite see it yet, but I'm not sure what you sent it on. He sent a text. You know that that's a pain in the ass, don't you? All right. I can't get to it right now. Skip says, give her the three strikes and you're out. Well, I'm honestly 100% sure that this is about the eighth strike. All right. Man Bun Chris says, I just emailed it so I don't get beat up as well. Yeah, that's another thing. Don't text it to me because then I've got to go and send it to myself. That's not nearly as big of an issue as ruining the stories. I can swing it if it's emailed. I cannot swing it if it's texted. I just sent it off to you on the chat of Twitch. I don't even remember what the hell happened on that. Over the past 2 days, our newsroom has been flooded with messages asking, what exactly was the great Zaniac Exodus? Airing of the grievances callback. So let me ask you this, Chris. What you sent me, I don't even recall ever seeing this. This is the first time I've ever seen. I thought what you were sending me was the audio link. So I'm not even sure what this is. So I'm totally, like, confused as to what it is that you're sending me. He says, oh my gosh, Mr. You know what? Let me just call you. All right? That's what I want to do. Because I don't know what the fuck you're doing. God. Why is everybody annoying?
Big Fraud News Network. How may I help you?
Wait, what's happening? You said click the link on the Reddit post?
Yep. So click the Reddit link, and then there's a box to the right on the post there. And that has the YouTube link of it on there. And so you can actually watch, you can watch your reaction and hear the phone calls and all that. But it's just, it's the video portion of it.
All right. Okay, I got it.
Love it.
All right, thanks. Bye. All right. I remember none of this. The podcast week. Technically, well, in terms of the last thing live that I'm going to do, unless if there's some crazy thing that needs to be addressed, but I don't foresee that happening. So, but still plenty more to do and publish on the Patreon. I still have to publish the asshole. It's primarily on the back half of the day, though, Terry. Okay, so I'm going to have to bounce around this because I don't have timestamps as to what is happening here. But I am looking for the conversation. This type of meltdown, like doing whatever they... Because I think Sexy Voice Andrea
and
called
please,
the show.
Their fault.
I'm with those in radio now.
Fired, done, and
this
done.
This is a lot of ask me.
Terry says
stuff.
They should be bring a.
Okay. Obviously, first of all these old sponsors.
They're talking shit. Now go ahead.
Okay.
Nothing to say.
Okay. Yeah. This is when Burrito calls.
I record my calls. Who gives a shit? I put my calls in the podcast.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Go first. Start us off. What do you got?
I'm not getting into that.
Why not? You just wanted to. You just wrote something, tough guy. Go ahead. Everybody's listening, so go ahead. Have at it.
Nothing to say. I said keep me out.
Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. You've got bashful on me, Mike? This is interesting.
I'm bashful, but I've always been passive. I've always been distant.
Ah, you're not that passive. You're over here talking shit. Now go ahead. Go for it.
I just called you out for saying that you didn't know anything about that legal action threat that you made last night.
Mike, be a man. You're a pussy, okay? You're a pussy. Be a man and say what you want to say.
I'm a 50-year-old man doing what a 50-year-old man should.
Mike, oh, wow, no, hold on. Oh, wait a second, tough guy. Oh, wow, look at that. Oh, no.
Okay, tale of the tape. Who won that? I think I won that. He called me to say that he has nothing to say? Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
Your name and number.
Wait a second. Okay. Yes, I am pod. Okay. More information. Do
I'll make sure she gets the information.
I think Andrea.
She will call you back.
Wow.
I will now transfer you to the tone coordinator for further instruction.
Okay, there we go. So that psychopath just made an. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Are you podcasting? Right
yes,
now?
I am podcasting.
Fuber. Oh. Okay. Well, when you get done, come down because Grayson wants to show you he can jump off the board by himself.
Okay, I will do that. Tell him I'll be done. See. I'm just having a little feel-good moment here.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, I love you.
You love you too, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so when you all are with Tough Not Heidi. Hey, it's your old pal Eric Zane for Secret Nature, makers of ultra-premium CBD gummies. And I'm going to tell you how you can take advantage of a special offer to save you 30% in a minute. But let me share this with you. You know that I've got about a million things going during any given day. And I just recently discovered Secret Nature to help me keep it all together during the day and help me wind down when the day is done. Ultra premium CBD gummies from Secret Nature. Crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to support your day with clean, purposeful functionality. I want you to try Secret Nature Ultimum Premium CBD Gummies. Organic, farm grown, not made in a lab. You can try Bliss for clear focus and productive flow. That's what I use during the day. And Snoozers to unwind and rest at the end of the day. Consistent measured CBD per gummy, so there's no guessing. Intentional formulations that feel clean and slot naturally into your routine. Take it from me, I keep it all together during the day with Bliss. And when it's time to relax, sometimes my mind is going a million miles an hour from all of the things that I've done during the day and the things that I have to do on the next day. That's when I'll take the snoozers to unwind. You need to try Secret Nature Ultra Premium Gummies. And here's what I want you to do. You can get 30% off of your first order at secretnature.com with code ZANE. That's secretnature.com, code ZANE. And then let me know how it goes. Again, get 30% off of your first order at secretnature.com with code ZANE. That's secretnature.com, code ZANE. Secret Nature.
Hello.
Hi, Andrea. What's up? Okay, this is sexy voice, Andrea. This is fantastic.
So, I tried calling you earlier. We must have been on...
No, I blocked your number. I don't want to talk to you.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to let everybody know that I got the police phone call.
Police phone call?
That day that Dean showed up.
Okay.
You want to tell everybody the lie, or you want me to explain it to them?
Go for it.
Okay, well, did you or did you not say that you called the police when you pulled in the driveway and hung up when you saw it was Dean?
She sounds brilliant. Yes, I did that. The phone rang.
Okay, you said that, and then you said that they called you back. Did you or did you not?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then why does a police phone call, public record, have you calling them after Dean left?
Yeah, that's true.
So you lied to us all.
I don't know. I don't even remember what I told you.
You just admitted to me what you told me, and we have you on the podcast telling everybody.
Yes, of course I called the police on Dean. Who wouldn't?
Yes, but you didn't call. You lied to us all about the call. You told me, told everybody else you called.
She was saying that the time that I called didn't match up with the call log, thus... this all didn't happen.
Called, and they called you back.
They did.
And no, they didn't. No, they didn't.
And then
called them, Eric.
Wait a second.
After Dean left.
Yes.
You called them.
There's three phone calls. One I called. Two they called me back. And then three I called them.
You're
trying to tell me how many times I called. Right.
No.
That's what I said.
They didn't call you back.
No.
You didn't call them to begin with.
This is what it's like. Being married to a retarded person. This is what that's like. No, that's not true. I called and then...
You didn't.
Well...
because there's no record of it, honey.
Well, listen, you got to quit interrupting me. If we're going to get anywhere with this...
Oh, you don't like to be interrupted. Well, you interrupted Mike. You talked right over his ass.
Oh, that's not true. You're going to have to...
Yes, you did. I was listening.
Well, I'm sorry. I see it one way. You see it the other way. I guess we'll agree to disagree.
Well, video evidence and audio will just prove it because anybody can go...
I definitely did talk over him, but who cares?
...back on this free Patreon and see that you talked right over him.
Well,
they
who
have
cares?
Fucking ears.
All right, whatever.
To hear it.
All right, you're right. I talked over him. Anyway...
Yeah.
Anyway, what I'm getting at is what does exactly this prove?
This proof is a fucking phone call that you said, hey, yes, well, I just wanted to call.
I'm so confused.
Because I am concerned about this.
Yeah.
And he left 10 minutes ago when he left however many minutes ago, and you lied to us all, saying that you fucking called the police when you saw his car, they called you back, and they were concerned. This is what,
hey, she's getting pissed now.
You fucking told me in my ear. You lied in my fucking ear, and I thought we were friends.
You lied in my ear.
Eric, and you threatened my fucking Xenia page whenever this went down.
No, we're not friends.
You. It's gone.
Oh.
You are off.
Oh, wait a minute.
You're off.
Oh, no, don't go.
You weren't even supposed to fucking be there to begin with. And I felt nice and let you have that because you needed an unofficial page on the radio.
Yep.
And Lori took over your official page.
Okay. Get it all out.
You weren't even,
Get it all out. I know it doesn't. I don't really know what exactly
you
point.
You fucking lied to me. I slept fucking 30 feet away from you.
Oh, okay. Slept 30 feet away from you. See, it's all coming out. There was a time when she went to Florida with us for like a fundraiser, and she slept in the same hotel room, and I, you know, being a recovering alcoholic, I think that's the closest I've been to being drunk since then. And all I had to do was sniff the air that I was sharing with her.
Okay. In Florida, your daughter's babysat my kid.
We didn't even want you there. But anyway.
Then she don't fucking invite me because I didn't invite myself there.
You drank too much. I can't believe how much you drank. I mean, I remember
so
the
what?
Empty bottle. Oh, it's
so
horrible.
What I drink.
Oh, God. Anyway. Well, getting back to your original point, which it doesn't prove, who gives a shit when I called? The original point
was...
Well,
you're lying to everybody.
I'm not
lying. To make yourself look good.
So you're telling me...
You lied to me to manipulate me to bump Dean out of the group. I'm not
No. I wanted Dean out of the group.
I'm a stoner. I might be a fucking pothead.
Right.
I drink. I fucking smoke pot. Yeah. I'm not a moron.
Right. So anyway, what I was getting at, though, is, okay, so what? Who cares when I called? The point is I called because a goddamn guy was at my house.
Well,
this dude would come over my house at random times, in case you don't know. Audience member, this dude, but just show up.
The person that you called on, you've invited to your home very many times, and Diana was
very many times
in on the whole chainsaw massacre. So so your point of that, of him coming over with all that, is bullshit because your wife was in on it. You guys call me, you both call me to try to say, oh, what was us? Well, Dean is such a stalker, he's harassing us. He's not.
You're not very good at this.
You're trying to make a case for that to get him up.
Yeah, she sounds like, remember that Kanye West video, Hurricane Katrina? That's what she sounds like here.
For what reason? I don't know.
Well, whatever. At the end of the day, I don't give a shit. I don't like Dean. I don't like you. So why don't y'all just fuck off?
Well, then you need to tell him that personally instead of making it a fucking public.
Oh, are you kidding me? I tell him that all the time.
Why?
He can go fuck himself, and so can you. You can go fuck each other. I don't give a shit.
Don't suck a big black dick, because I know you want to.
Okay. All right. Maybe. I like black dick. Do any more of you fucking assholes want to ask questions personally? I would love it. What is it? Who gives a shit? The way it went down was I called.
All right.
Oh, my God. Thank you to Chris D for passing that along to me. Man Bun Chris says that's an all-timer. Goddamn. Oh, it's fun. Chris says this is fucking gold. Stevie says that was great. Murder lover Linda says boring Dean is a stalker. This was the same guy who reached out. Maureen, when she began participating on the chat, it's, you know, Maureen and Linda are sisters. And Maureen is relatively new. And Dean, I'm not 100. I think he might have wanted to eat out Linda's asshole. But when, like, she's not breathing anymore. That's what I think. Because Dean reaches out to Maureen and says, hey, when we're doing the Zoom, the Friday night Zoom, I wanna let myself into Linda's apartment and walk in behind her and give her flowers.
And Maureen is like, I don't think that's a good idea.
Oh, come on, it'll be great.
Stevie talks about the Garden of Listeners. Isn't that the clip? I thought it was. Yes. He wrote that long breakup letter. They were referring to themselves as the Garden of Listeners, that I tended the garden. You tended the garden, Eric Zane. You grew us from the soil. Megan says, I always want to sneak into the studio with Pooh Bear's help, but I'm confident you'll shoot me. Yeah, don't ever do that. However, I have to buy all new guns. There's a major catastrophe over here at the house. My grandson came over, and so anytime young people are in my house, I lock my guns in a safe. And I lost the goddamn key. So I said to Pooh Bear, I go, hey, have you seen the key to the safe? No. I go, all right, I can promise you it's in like a pocket. Can you keep an eye on the laundry for me? Sure. That's part of the reason why I've been just killing it on the laundry and doing so much laundry. There's a safe full of guns that I cannot open. So my options are cut open the safe, which is not easy to do. I don't even think I can do it, frankly. It's that high grade like tungsten or some shit. Or take the safe to somebody to open the safe. Megan says call a locksmith. Paul says lockpick or thermite. Or buy new guns. It's an opportunity to get more guns. All right. Bread Bull Brain Chris says, Hooger Hide Safe and Lock can probably open it for you. Well, they'd have to come to my house because it's a walk-in safe. It's like a bank vault. Cole says, is there a keypad on it? Yes. It's got like a code that you put on it. Well, but I use the key because you're not going to believe it. I forgot the code. Piano Finger Banger says, Jesus, dude, is your house fucking Waco? No, I've talked about that. There's guns. I have hidden guns all throughout the house. I'm never within more than two or three steps from a weapon. And there's all sorts of, like, trick spots where I can grab them underneath. You ever see the movie Tombstone with, what's the guy's name? Kurt Russell. And, you know, the guy is getting into it with, what was Val Kilmer's character? And John, it was Johnny Ringo was talking to not Wyatt, but what is Doc Holliday. And you see Wyatt reach out. I got those everywhere. Guns under places. So then the kids come over and I have to gather all the goddamn guns, walk into the safe, lock them, shut the door, spin the thing, and then that. But I forgot the code, and I lost the key. So we've got a problem.
Piano Finger Banger says, I'm picturing the scene in Terminator 2 when they go down in the hidden gun storage room in the desert. It's not that different than that. I know the scene that you're talking about. Megan is here, and she says she made a comment, and then she wants to delete the comment. Shit, I want to delete this comment, but I can't figure out how. She had written, so what you're saying is I can come today. Well, why would you want to delete that? It just seems like you're kidding. Is that one of those weirdo comments that don't mean anything? And you're going to knock on my door and say, hey, sorry, show mom here. I can't get into my jammies and relax until that comment is deleted. Cole says, I have a bunch of concealment shelves everywhere. They're sweet. I know it. Like, there's spots in my house I can just poof, bang on a wall and then poof, a thing rolls down, grab the gun, ba-boom! Chris says, my favorite was when BK Guns and Stuff ads came up after talking about a shooting. LOL, so awkward. That was the gun repair place that was the sponsor. Who I gave that fucker my old 22 rifle that was my father's to him. I go, I need you to fix this. And the cock has not finished it yet. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? It's an awesome 22. It's old school. And it's so fun to shoot my 22 at I love shooting like up north because it's just like a high powered BB gun. Shooting cans with the 22 is like a great way to hone your marksmanship. Speaking of which, yesterday there was a sniper that was deadly from, I guess, not that far away, 200-300 yards. There was video before the Kirk assassination of some Utah students actually shooting video of the bad guy on the roof. And in that video, I don't have the energy to look it up right now. You just see the guy from way across the little area where they're in. And the guy who's shooting the video goes, hey, just saw this guy dressed in all black running across the roof. And now here he is again, crouched down. You can't tell that he's got a weapon. He goes, huh. And somebody made the point online. I guess they don't believe in see something, say something. This was minutes before the thing got underway. Had he said something, this asshole, he would have foiled the plot to assassinate Charlie Kirk. And this was an assassination. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. A lot of people don't like to believe this, but Charlie Kirk had a lot to do with the cabinet choices in the current administration. Now, say what you will about the administration. We're not here to debate the good and the bad of the current administration. We're looking at the value and the influence that this dude had. I can promise you that in an alternate reality, if Charlie Kirk is not assassinated, he would have had the juice to be a rising star in the political party to maybe be the president of the United States. No hyperbole there. If you do any amount of reading about who this, like if you didn't know who Charlie Kirk was and what his influence was, you would quickly understand how much of an influence he had on not only young people and their political views, but the election itself and the importance to the formulation of Trump's cabinet. And I don't want anybody to get caught in their feels and say, yeah, well, fuck him. He did this. He did that. Yeah, it's so beyond that now. There is no point to even bring up anything about what he stands for. And I know that I've seen a lot of, I don't like that he was murdered, but. And we saw that with United Health guy Brian Thompson. When Luigi Mangione killed that guy, you had a lot of assholes saying, well, that is terrible that he's dead. But, you know, I think we need to get past the whole thing when someone's murdered or assassinated or slaughtered in the street. I really feel like it's important to avoid the opportunity to say something shitty about the person. And I don't buy, like when Brian Thompson was murdered, people who were saying, yeah, I don't think anybody should be murdered. But let me tell you about this guy and what he stood for. Those people only said that first statement to insulate themselves and protect themselves from being thrown under the bus. Because then they can say, well, look, I said I do not support murder. I don't think you can, in the same breath, say, this is so terrible that so-and-so is dead. But let me tell you about how much of an asshole he is. That's how I feel. And I think that with a little luck, maybe one point, maybe, we won't do that. You know, I mean, like if someone on the left is murdered, are we going to see that type of response now, or will we see some type of another crazy person retaliating? Alan says Freebird and Outwings were big defenders of Luigi. Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking about when I say that. Specifically, Kelly Cheese was quite twatty. This is as much of a great talent as she is, she does it despite marginal IQ at best. She's not well-read. And doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about in most instances. And she and Freebeer were leading the charge about, oh boy, I don't support murder. But I tell you, Brian Thompson, he's an evil man. Because he worked for an insurance company. Come on now. Bob's here. He writes, speaking of Freebird and Hot Wings, the peanut butter karaoke bit today was horrendous. Don't know that one. Some would call it karaoke, by the way. So, as soon as this happens, the murder of Kirk, and by the way, this is still a changing story. The last I heard about the manhunt for the assassin is that the rifle has been recovered. And if there is new news, you're well within your right to say, EZ, we have breaking news. And then wait till I see it. Whatever you do, don't Amanda. The sniper who assassinated Charlie Kirk has not yet been identified by law enforcement. And I think part of that is because, you know, this is not a presidential event. Private citizen who had his own security, but it's not like this was a secure location. Believed to have jumped off the roof, fled into a neighborhood after firing a single shot. The authorities said Thursday in disclosing that they recovered a high-powered rifle from the scene. Points for Nick in the arena, who suggested that it was a high-powered rifle. Nick also said it sounded like the shot was suppressed. Shooter is believed to have blended in on the university campus where Kirk was shot and appeared to be of college age, police said as they continued to investigate. Utah Department of Public Safety Commissioner Bo Mason said investigators have been working around the clock to identify the suspect from footage taken at the event. Also, images captured by doorbell cameras in a neighborhood outside of the school. We do have good video footage of this individual. We are not going to release that at this time. I wouldn't have even have said that. I never understand why law enforcement gives out too much information. Because if you announce to the world that you have good video footage of him, that person is going to make that much more of an effort to conceal their identity. You're better off saying, yeah, we're trying to piece things together. And say anything but specifics. To me, when it comes to capturing the bad guy who's monitoring all these things, you don't want to reveal where you are in the investigation. Shut the fuck up. It's like dealing with a loudmouth person in the Eric Zane Show podcast chat who can't get out of their own way. Mason revealed that officials believe the suspect arrived at the area of the event at 11:52 a.m., half an hour before Kirk was shot. The suspect then ran across the rooftop, jumped down to the ground, and fled into a nearby neighborhood. I already said that. Law enforcement says, I can tell you this was a targeted event. Well, no kidding. Utah Governor Spencer Cox said, I want to be very clear, this is a political assassination. Cox also said, we will find, we will prosecute, and we do have the death penalty in Utah. Videos posted to social media from Utah Valley University show Kirk speaking into a handheld mic while sitting under a white tent emblazoned with the slogans, The American Comeback and Prove Me Wrong. A shot rings out and Kirk can be seen reaching up with his right hand. All right, I don't need to talk about that. Kirk was taking questions about gun violence. They were talking about transgender Americans when it happened. Trump announced the death of Kirk, referred to him as a martyr of truth, martyr for truth. Condemnation from across the political spectrum, of course. I think it goes without saying that Kirk's opinion on political matters do not line up with a little less than half of the population, including me. Like if Charlie Kirk were alive today, I'd be the first guy to say, this guy's a psychopath, fuck him. Black Belt Nick says, Amanda, impersonation. We have good video of the suspect. Piano Fingerbanger, Trump ordered flags at half mast, not because of the kids in Colorado shot at school yesterday, but because the podcast influencer bro died. Interesting. So the kids were shot. Now, the kids are not dead. Three people were shot, including the bad guy in Colorado. And he killed himself. He is, in fact, dead. Clown of Carnage, Black Belt Nick says, did you see the reaction in the House of Representatives last night? No, I did not. If you have a link, send it along, please. Black Belt Nick also adds, yeah, they really need to say we have no leads until they get them. Piano Fingerbanger says, this is all just a plot to distract from the Epstein list. Takes off tinfoil hat. Cole says, I don't think the topic that they were talking about, transgender guns, when he was shot had anything to do with it. The guy wanted to kill him and took him out when he had the chance. So we think.
And the reason why I say that was because of a Wall Street Journal report that was shared with me today. Headline in the Wall Street Journal says, ammunition in Kirk shooting engraved with transgender anti-fascist ideology, sources say. He did leave the ammo or the weapon behind, and they were able to take a look at the ammo, I guess, to reveal this information. Now, could be true. Wall Street Journal is not like the Daily Mail. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.